مارك السهابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Esteemed listeners of مارك السهابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة, we welcome you to this particular program. It is our Nasiha segment and it is with Mufti Farhan Karani. Let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Sahab. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mufti Sahab doing?
Alhamdulillah, shukran.
Alhamdulillah. Mufti Sahab, please share with us what the Ummah needs to know, what you've been witnessing. Always Mufti Sahab shares with us what is the need of the time, how should we respond to certain situations, your experiences also in Maktab with the students, different things Mufti Sahab can share with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya al-mursaleen. Sayyidina wa habibina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Wa qala Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال جاء رجل إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله من أحق بحسن صحابتي قال أمك قال ثم من قال أمك قال ثم من قال أمك قال ثم من قال ثم أبوك. So, in the month of April, we were bombarded with different holidays, different Christian festive holidays, public holidays, and the whole of April was just marked with holidays. And couldn't even do much work in madrasa also, and schools were also disrupted. So, the whole year, the kuffar, most of the kuffar, just want to celebrate because that's what their life is all about. Fun and play. That's their life revolves around fun and play. We say December, also holidays, and then January, February, they don't have money because they spent all their money on the Christmas and New Year celebrations. Then they need something now because it's been too long. So then March and April, all the holidays start again. Then again, June again. Then again, they wait for Mother's Day, Father's Day, all different days they come up with because they need to make money. And consumerism is like that. They need to make money all the time from the people. So now there's another day coming up, Mother's Day. This concept is very strange to understand. We have one day in a year for a mother.
Gee.
I can hear you
perfectly well, gee.
Yeah. So they have one day in a year dedicated to their mother. And the rest of the year, they don't know who their mother is, where their mother is. She's in an old age home, there's somebody looking after her. But they don't care about their mother. So we're not talking about Mother's Day because we want people to celebrate Mother's Day. Talking about Mother's Day to highlight the importance of of our mothers. And now the kuffar tell us that you must buy roses for your mother on Mother's Day, and then after the Father's Day comes, right? Then you have to buy a box of chocolates for your father, buy a hammer or I don't know what something for your father, and or buy sand for your father. And so it's not like that. Our parents are our everything. And if it wasn't for our parents, we wouldn't be here. And we owe everything to our mothers. If you take an example, our mothers gave birth to us. The pain that they endured during the pregnancy, they had sleepless nights, they had nausea, and they had different blood pressure problems, and they had all complications, and just to bring us in this world. And then we come into this world, and then we don't want to know our mother, we just respect our mothers, and we side with our wives against our mothers, and we don't show love and respect for our mothers. And so What does Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم say with regard to Ahmad? We look at always we go back to the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, because the Sunnah will guide us, the Quran will guide us. So one person came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and he asked, Ya Rasulullah, he was concerned that who is more deserving of my companionship? Who is best deserving of my companionship? So Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Ummuk, your mother. And then he asked, after my mother, who else? He said, again, your mother. He said, okay, after my mother, then who else? Then he said, your mother again. Three times Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, your mother. Thereafter he asked, Ya Rasulullah, who else? He said, Summa Abuk, then your father. Right? So this hadith highlights the importance of the mother. That the mother is your maktab, your madrasa. Your mother is your school. Your mother is your sheikh. Your mother is your counselor. Your mother is your mentor. Your mother is everything to you. Because in the lap of your mother, you learn things which other people cannot teach you. You learn manners from your mother. You learn du'as from your mother. You learn good habits from your mother. If you're a girl, you learn to cook from your mother. And everything your mother teaches you. And the things that your mother will teach you, even your father can't teach you. Because the father, obviously, is going to work and he's there to provide for the family. The child is with the mother all the time. So the mother inculcates values into the child. Often you hear that, you know, what, his mother never teach him. And if somebody does something wrong, he believes that his mother didn't teach him. And because if he has a bad habit, where did he get this bad habit from? And maybe his mother taught him, but the question would be that why is he behaving like this? Did his mother not teach him how to behave properly? And so everything lies with the mother. And in the hadith also, al-jannah tu tahta aqdami ummahat, that Jannah, paradise, lies under the feet of mothers. But, so what does this mean? One should have meant to go look under mother's feet to see the Jannah there. But then they explain, no, that's the meaning of it. The meaning is that if you look after your mother, if you care for your mother, if you respect your mother, then you will acquire Jannah. But if a person does not respect his mother, doesn't show affection to his mother, see how much importance that the Sharia is given to the mother and the father, that if you look at your mother with affection and love, this is my mother, my beloved mother, you get the reward of a hajj, accepted hajj, maqbool hajj. So much of importance. Then Allah Ta'ala teaches us in the Quran also, it must make dua for your parents. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا, oh Allah, have mercy on my parents. كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا, just as they had nurtured me when I was small, when I was little, when I was young. So the hardships and difficulties and stress that our parents go through bringing us up, we can never repay them. And the sleepless night the father has, that I have to send my child to madrasa, send my child to learn, and I have to send my child to pay for my child's clothing, I have to buy food for my family. How do I do all this? So the father is worried always, that where am I going to get a job? I need to look after my family. The mother is always worried that my child must be the best child in the world. My child must have good manners. If the child talks out of turn, the child will get admonished that you cannot talk like this. This is not how we talk. This is how we behave. You must share with other children. You must share with your siblings and your brother and your sister. And you must be kind. So all these values we learn from our mothers. But the kuffar, they don't care about their mothers. When they, in fact, the parents don't care about their children in a kuffar system. Why? Because when the child turns 18 years old, then he must go find his own way in life. He must go and look for a job. She must go to university. She must live on campus, or she must live, get her flat somewhere. She must live on her own. She must be independent. Don't want this headache of the children here. And what they do in their life is their problem. And then what they do, bring the dog in, get a dog, a dog will replace the child. Every time one child leaves, one dog comes in out. It's a reality. So this is the kuffar system. They don't care about their children. And the children don't care about their parents. You hear from kuffar children how they will reprimand their own mothers. Reprimand if the mother came about 2 minutes late to school to fetch them. They will shout at the mother, like, where were you? You know I come out this time. Why were you not here? It's so embarrassing. My friends have to look and see that nobody came to fetch me. And so this is the kuffar system. If you don't have any respect for the parents, they talk to the parents like how they talk to their friends. So when we send our children to school, this is what habits they pick up. And we have to now remedy those bad habits, and we have to take it out of them. That, you know, you cannot talk to your parents like this here. And in our days, it wasn't, there was no such thing as ADHD and counseling, and you must go see a therapist, a speech therapist, and a behavior therapist. And what was the therapy? One tamacho. Everything comes right. Your whole life comes into order. And that is, and there was no diagnosis. Diagnosis was you must be right. One tamacho or did a bell in there or a belt and you sort it out. Your whole life will remember this lesson of yours and you'll never do that mistake again. So the parents have a right to discipline their child. Parents have a right to discipline their child. Obviously not beating them to such an extent that they lose a limb or they're bleeding in it. But what does the Sharia say? When it comes to Salah, then you have to, at the age of 7, must tell your child, read your Salah. At the age of 10, the Hadith says, feed them, because that is such a great obligation that if you do not instill the fear of Allah Ta'ala in them, they will never ever read Salah in their life. And then there will be a cause of fitna on earth and fasad. So, coming back to the mother, that even that one scream that the mother gave when giving birth to us, we can, even if we carry our mother and we go for Hajj 50 times walking, we won't be able to compensate for that one scream that our mother gave, that the pain she experienced during our childbirth. And so one Sahabi was in his deathbed, and somebody came to tell him, because the Sahabi is on his deathbed, but he can't read the kalima. He can't read the kalima. So the person said, gather firewood, and start a fire, throw him inside there. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, so the person said, let us find out what the issue is. Does he have a mother? He said, yes, he got a mother. So Nabi Sassan summoned the mother, and the Nabi Sassan is the Nabi of Allah, he can summon anybody. He summoned the mother, said, come here to me, we need to talk to you. If you can come, I'll come to you. So the message went to the mother, and the mother said, no, I will come to him. And she was old. So she came walking slowly, and Nabi Sassan asked, how is your son? She said, no, my son is very good. Alhamdulillah, my son is very good. And praising her son. Said, no, what? Your son, do something. He is on his deathbed and he can't read the kalima. Did he do something? So the mother was very reluctant. The mother said, yes. One occasion, not every day. One occasion, my son sided with his wife against me. There's a matter that my son gave, he sided with his wife against me. The person said, that is the reason he can't read the kalima. To go and gather firewood and light the fire, throw him in here from now already in Jahannam, and let him experience the fire from now before he reaches Jahannam. So the mother says, no, look at the mother's heart. Mother's heart is so soft. No, I forgive him. And then the Sahabi came running back. He said, Ya Rasulullah, he read the kalima and passed away. So this is the severity of the matter. And how often we will side with our wives, we will side and you will take our wife's side, but you won't say, oh, this is my mother. I can't break my mother's heart. And the wife is upset, he's fine. And loving with her, she'll overcome it. Tomorrow she'll be fine. Maybe after 3 days she'll be fine. But my mother, I can't break my mother's heart. And even if your mother is phoning you in a high profile meeting, you're the CEO of a big corporation, and you see your phone ringing. It's mother, mommy, or ummi is calling. And you can't put the swipe message, WhatsApp, call me later, or I'll call you later, or decline the call. No, your mother is calling. You must take that call. Take that call. Even if you are reading Salah and your mother calls you, if you're reading Salah, you have to break your Salah. If you don't follow Salah, you have to break your Salah and you have to go and say, mommy, gee, well, you're calling me. And so that is how important the mother is. So your meeting can cancel. It can be canceled also. My mother needs me. Oh, my mother fell down. Oh, I need to go see my mother. Or my mother is sick. So you need to cancel the meeting. My mother comes first. If it wasn't for your mother's dua, you wouldn't be here where you are. Your mother brought you up. Your mother made dua for you. I tell the students that, you know, your mother cries for you at night. My mother cries for me. Oh, my mother cries for me. You don't know. The parents, the mother, the father, they cry when they make dua. They cry for their children. That my child, Ya Allah, make my child a pious child. Ya Allah, make my child a good-hearted child. Ya Allah, send my child to Jannah. Ya Allah, give my child a good spouse. And the parents, they cry, they make dua for the children. But the children don't know about it. When they become parents, then they know about it. That my child is giving me a difficult time. You know, my child is putting me through so much of stress. And my child is not listening, getting complaints from the school, from the madrasa, from the community. My child is like this. It's such a problem child. And the parents are concerned about the child. But are we concerned about our parents? And do we respect our parents? Do we call our parents with affectionate names? Ummi or Ammi or Mami or Mom? And do we call our parents nicely when they call us? How do we respond to our parents? And do we hiss and sigh and blow our noses and our mouths and we back chat and we say, but I'm not a child anymore. You can't tell me to do this here. I have my own life to lead. And how do we react to our parents' calls to us? Even if your parents are non-Muslim and your father is a drunkard and your mother is a gambler or whatever, you still have to respect them. They are still your parents. And no matter what, your parents are still your parents. So there was one story that this person, he was very successful in life. He had a very, very high-paying job. And his mother was old. So he put his mother in an old age home. And then what they do, they forget about their parents in an old age home. So he put his mother in an old age home. And one day he gets a call. That, you know, your mother is ill. Maybe you should come and see her. And all the years, weekends went by, years went by, he went on holiday with his wife and children and didn't care for his mother because he stayed for the old age home. And then you see, if somebody's looking after her, so, you know, I'm doing my duty, my share I'm looking after my mother. My mother is taken care of. And taken care of by who? And by somebody else, by some kafir people there, by some people who not. Those people are not even her family, they're not her children, and you, her child, why don't you look after your mother? And why are you putting your mother in an old age home? So he got a call, and he said, you know, I got busy today, but I'll see when I got time. When you got time, when you were a baby, and you were crying in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., your mother woke up and said, pick the baby up, and comfort the baby, and give the baby milk, and play with the baby at 2 a.m. in the morning. Here your mother is requires help at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and you don't have time. Now, this is my time now. You know, I'm in a very, very big meeting now. If I'm going to lose the 10 million then contract, yes, but your mother is calling. Your mother needs you. So he forgot about it. Then a few months later, he remembers, hey, no, mother, hey, you should sit to call me. So he phoned back to the old age home, and he inquired, you know, my mother, I just want to find out how she plays. Your mother passed away. A few months ago, your mother passed away. What? Oh, now you struck her out here, then he's screaming and performing, my mother died, hey, Allah, now what must I do, you know. Your mother is already in the grave. And you didn't care about your mother that time. Now you want to make, like, you cared about your mother so much, and now you want to give set up a daria for your mother, and it's too late. Your mother's bad dua is already with you. because your mother needed you and you weren't there for your mother. You chucked your mother in an old age home and you let her rot there and die there and you didn't care about her. And only once a year you used to go there with roses and you used to stand there and say, "Mommy, this is for you." And you sat there 5 minutes and then you're looking at your watch and you got your earpiece in your ear there and you're expecting a call. You know what, "Mommy, I need to call. I got a meeting at 9. Come there 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. You know, I got a meeting. I need to, you know, traffic, you know." Your mother sees you for 5 minutes in 1 year. The whole year, your mother sees you for 5 minutes. And then you think you've done your duty because are they looking after you? They're taking care of you. That is how we appreciate our mothers. And once a year, you buy your mother a mug there, "I love you, mom." And you think you've done your duty for your whole life now. You repay your mother's debt. You can never repay your mother. Your father, and what Nabi says about the father, and سَخَطُ رَبِّي فِي سَخَطِ وَالِدِ, that your father's anger is Allah's anger. If your father is angry with you, Allah is angry with you. Nowadays, people, one of the signs of Qiyamah is that the person won't want to, he will distance himself from his father. And he doesn't want to know his father. He won't phone his father, he won't contact his father. He treats his father like a stranger. And he keeps his friends closer, but his father will be far. And if he sees his father and his friends are with him, then he makes like he doesn't know his father, his own father. And if his father is phoning him, then he will cut the call. Or even block your father. "I don't want to, what does Bali want now? Stop you now, you're troubling me, man. What do you want now?" And so this is how we speak about our own parents. We call them Bali's and Sophie's and our father. Can't talk about your father like this. You have respect for your father. In our days, you couldn't even think about that. You couldn't even think about it. If you say anything like that to your father, you must come out from that room without 2-3 teeth in your mouth. So we have to respect our fathers. Today, the law of the government is a shaitanic law because they impose on the parents that you cannot shout your child, you cannot smack your child, you cannot discipline your child. We will tell you how you must discipline your child. We will discipline your child. How discipline? No discipline. Take the child to a counselor, to a psychologist, and make the child psychotic. Because they indoctrinate the child. You know, your parents are not allowed to beat you. They must not shout you. They must not, only we allowed you. We will discipline you. You know, then you make the parents. The parents are the evil ones. If the parent wants to discipline the child, then the parents get in trouble. The parents will go to jail. They must pay a penalty. They must pay a fine. Then how, and you teach your child something that, you know, gays and lesbians are haram. You must hate the gays and lesbians. Then if the child must say that in public, then the child gets taken away from you in other countries. And that's going to make it doesn't happen here. But in other countries, in Germany and things, the child speaks anything, we call it hate speech against LGBTQ or any other Jew or something. We call it anti-Semitic. Take the child away. The child is being abused in his home. And charge the parents, penalty on the parents in jail time. Imagine jail time for the parents. That parent is trying to teach the child what is right. Teach the child that this here is the world of shaitan and this is the world of Allah Ta'ala. This is how we behave as Muslims. This is how we have to believe. This is our belief system. But the whole Western system has overtaken us. And they are imposing on us how we must discipline our children and how a child must react to a parent, right? Because they watch movies. In the movies, they think there that the child, the daughter is shouting at the mother, the father, the son doesn't want to see the father, he swears the father. So the child thinks, "Oh, this is how you're supposed to be." And so then, who's the parent? The TV, the television, the YouTube, the TikTok, that is your parent. And who's your children also? Your device. Your TV and your devices is your children. Your children do whatever they want and the parents do whatever they want. So this is the life we're living in and we have to come back onto the Quran and Sunnah and we have to appreciate our parents. Every day of our lives has to be in obedience with Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala says obey your parents. And after Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says you must respect or obey your parents. Obey your parents. Don't even tell them, "Oof." "Oof" is the nicest word. The lightest word, "Oof." It's the lightest word. And even don't even say, "Oof." No. Like, you know, blow air through your nose or your mouth or whatever. And We can't even show the least disrespect to our parents, appreciate our parents. Our parents do so much for us. We must love them, appreciate them, they treatment, or wherever we can, how much we can. It must never be enough, like how we spoke about just now. Let Allah give us all the right and make of faith to appreciate our parents and give our parents long life. And if they pass on, give them Jannah to Firdaus and make us obedient, inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah Khairan for that. While Mufti Sahib was speaking, I was just checking now what's the history of Mother's Day. So I found everything, most of it, as Mufti Sahib said in the beginning, all these holidays, and it's all pagan customs. And even this year, it traces back to the Christian festival. It was known as Mothering Sunday. That's why it makes sense. Always it has to fall on a Sunday. So important message. Jazakumullah Khairan, Mufti Sahib. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.